Father, as we approach your word, God, we thank you for it, God. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the light that comes as we read your word, as we listen to your word. And I just ask for that light to shine this morning on our hearts. God, we ask for the breath of God, the anointing of your Holy Spirit to move and minister. God, I ask you just to open up our hearts, Lord, to receive your truth and your love, God, and we thank you for it now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I'm going to share this morning on honoring our fathers. And interestingly enough, I had this message on my heart a few weeks ago or a month or so ago. And then I asked my wife, I said, when's Father's Day? And she Googled it, you know, looked it up and found out where it was. And sure enough, it was this time. I was like, well, you know, there you go. So I already had this message and maybe a few others on the topic of honor. So we're gonna look at some scriptures this morning, and we're gonna ultimately get to the Father heart of God. But let's start with Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 16. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 16. It says, "Honor your father and your mother, as the Lord your God has commanded you, that your days may be long, that it may be well with you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you." Honor your father and your mother, as the Lord your God has commanded you. Now that scripture from Deuteronomy 5, 16, that's actually the context of that is right in the middle of what we know as the Ten Commandments. And what is that? It's actually referred to that in other parts of the scripture, the Ten Commandments. And it's interesting that this is the first of those commandments that relates to dealing with people. Okay? So it's the fifth one on the list. The first four all deal with our relationship to God. You shall have no other gods before me. Don't make a graven image or an idol. Don't take the name of the Lord your God in vain is the third one. And then keep the Sabbath. Remember the Sabbath. Keep it holy. So the first four of those commandments all relate to, primarily, they relate to God, vertically to him. And then the next six actually all relate to people. And the first of those six is this one here. Honor your father and your mother. And then there's other commandments, don't steal and kill, commit adultery, etc. Okay, so those are the various commandments. But this is the first one that relates and speaks of our relationship to other humans, other people. This command then is re-emphasized in the New Testament. Okay, there are a couple different places in the New Testament that then re-emphasize this command. And if you have your notes, you can see there, it says that Paul applies this command to children in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. The Apostle Paul, he takes this command and he applies it to children. He says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth." Not only is it the first commandment that relates to people, it's also the first one that had a promise attached to it of those Ten Commandments. It was the first one that actually carried with it a promise of blessing if it was fulfilled. And Paul quotes, "that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth." Okay? How many people want it to go well with them? Anybody? Okay. I think we all would, right? Okay, then look at Jesus. Jesus then applies this command to adults. It's interesting. Paul takes it, he applies it to children. Jesus takes the command, and he applies it to adults. Mark chapter 7, this is also in your notes. Mark chapter 7, verses 9 through 13. He said to them, this is Jesus speaking to the Pharisees and the scribes of that time. He said, "All too well you reject the commandment of God that you may keep your tradition. For Moses said, honor your father and your mother, and he who curses his father or mother, let him be put to death. How many are thankful we don't live in the time of Moses' law? I think some of us wouldn't be here right now, right? Okay. But you say, if a man says to his father or mother, whatever profit you might have received from me is Corban, that is, a gift to God, then you no longer let him do anything for his father or his mother, making the word of God of no effect through your tradition, which you have handed down, and many such things you do. What is Jesus talking about here? What's the issue here? Jesus is referring to the Pharisees, and he says, you have all these traditions that you keep, and by your traditions, you actually are nullifying the words and the commands of God. And he gives this one example, and he says, look, the scripture says to honor your father and your mother. And he says, you've created this system where a person doesn't have to provide for the needs of their parents once they're older, because you can take whatever you would have given to them and you can make it a, quote, gift to God. Talk about spiritualizing it and coming up with a religious way to get around the command to honor our fathers and mothers. That's what he's referring to. Okay? So they had come up with this tradition that basically got people out of having to take care of their parents and provide for their parents when they were older and couldn't provide for themselves anymore. Okay? It's actually very similar. Paul talks about this in 1 Timothy. We're just going to look very quickly at this. 1 Timothy, but it's a very similar type of idea. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 3, it says, honor widows who are really widows. And in that context, he's defining a widow who's really a widow as one who not only has lost their husband, but doesn't have any children or any other family, because he's in the context of the church providing for them, okay? So he says, but if any widow has children or grandchildren, let them first learn to show piety at home and repay their parents, for this is good and acceptable before God. And then in that context, verse 8, if anyone does not provide for his own, especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. It's very strong language. But see, what Paul is referring to, that's what Jesus was saying, is that when parents get older, and that especially in that time, they weren't able to provide for themselves, they weren't able to do the work that they had been doing, they didn't have a means of income, the children were then to provide for the parents. Like Paul said, repay your parents for everything they've done for you. And so Paul applies it to children, Jesus applies it to adults. So it's that general command in the Old Testament, and then it's applied across the board. Okay, what does that tell us? The first main point on there, I believe it tells us this. Our attitude toward and treatment of our parents is a big deal to God. Okay? Our attitude towards and our treatment of our parents matters to God. It's something that he really cares about. Okay? It's a big deal to him. And as I mentioned, there's a blessing attached to the commandment to honor your father and your mother. And blessing is a real concept. Blessing and curses are real concepts in the scripture. And there is a blessing attached to the honoring of your father, the honoring of your mother. In today's context, we're talking more with fathers, that being at Father's Day, but really it's both, okay? And then the implication is, if you don't honor, that it may not go well with you. Okay, that's kind of the implication on that, on the other side of that command and that promise. Okay, now the father, the word father has to do with the originator. Somebody who originated your life, basically. Okay. And it could be in other contexts as well, but somebody, you know, the originator, the giver of life, okay? And that can also be applied to spiritual fathers. It's a concept that's in the Bible. Paul talks about being a spiritual father to his spiritual son, Timothy. And he gave life into Timothy's calling and into his destiny. Okay, so it can apply to spiritual fathers as well. And all of us have had varying degrees of experience with our fathers. All of us have had varying degrees of experience. And we know that there's no perfect father except for the Heavenly Father. We know that. Okay, so, but some of us would characterize our relationship with our dad overall as very good and very healthy. And I know that there's probably some of us who would characterize the relationship with the dad as overall very unhealthy and very, very negative. So I wanted to say that I understand that there's varying degrees here of people who have had different experiences with their dad. And some might say, you know, I have a great relationship with my dad, had a great experience. And some might say it was awful. There may have been neglect, there may have been abandonment, there may have been abuse, okay? And so sometimes it can be difficult to even talk through some of this stuff. And I just want to say that I understand that. But the enemy knows this principle of honoring our fathers, that it may go well with you, okay? The enemy knows this principle and will try to create an offense in our hearts towards our parents. Okay? The enemy knows this principle. And guess what? He does not want it to go well with you. Okay? The Bible says that he comes to steal and to kill and to destroy. And so he would love for nothing else. He would love to create dysfunction in a family, disorder, division, issues, so that children begin to take up an offense against their parents and draw them to dishonor and hate and all those things. Because that can set the course of a person's life on a destructive path. And the enemy knows that. He's like, man, he sees this thing and he's like, man, I don't even have to mess with some people. They're already on this course of a destructive path. And sometimes it's because there's been an offense created in our hearts toward our parents and the way we view them and the way we relate to them. So I want us to be careful about that and ask the Lord to show us if there's any offenses in our hearts towards our parents for some of the things maybe we've been through. Okay? But this is a big deal to God. This is very important to God. The second point there on the page is that showing honor starts as a heart attitude and then manifests in action. It's actually in that same passage that Jesus was talking to the Pharisees about all their traditions and how they were replacing the traditions with the word, replacing the word of God with their traditions. And he said this to them, and he quotes from the book of Isaiah. He says, "Well did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites." This is in your notes. It's Mark 7, verse 6. He said, "Well did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites. As it is written, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." And that's the Lord speaking that through Isaiah the prophet. He was saying, these people are giving me lip service. They're saying good things. They're saying the right things. They honor me with their lips, but their heart is far away from me. And that tells us in this, there's a principle of honor, that honor must begin in the heart. Okay? Honor must begin as a heart attitude, whether it's honoring God, like in this context, whether it's honoring our fathers and mothers, whether it's honoring authority that the Lord has placed in our lives. There's various things that can go with that. But it starts with a heart attitude. And then it will manifest itself in actions, in words and in actions. Okay? And some of those actions, when it comes to honoring our parents, some of those actions, some ways of showing honor, okay, First, it would be obedience and submission when you're children. What Paul said in Ephesians 6 is probably the primary way that children, as they're growing up, show honor to their parents is by obeying and by having a submissive heart towards them, okay, and not a rebellious heart against their parents. So when you're children, that's the primary way. And then later in life, when you leave home and you're no longer living under that roof and you're no longer under that same circumstance, okay, there's still ways of showing honor. And I would say it's having respect for, it's receiving counsel, maintaining a relationship and keeping that relationship good, receiving input, receiving counsel, speaking well of, okay, not going around just jabbing about this and that, about the parents. So all those things, I think, would fall into the category of honoring once we're out of the home. And then, as we saw earlier, when our parents are older and begin to be able to no longer take care of themselves, taking care of their needs physically, sometimes financially, depending on different circumstances, that then is a way of honoring our parents once they're at an age that's older, once we're at an age that's older, okay? So there's various ways of showing honor throughout our lives to our parents. I think one of the ways that I didn't mention yet that we can show honor is to forgive parents of their shortcomings, okay? Because even if you grew up with the greatest dad in the world, okay, there's still shortcomings, right? Nobody's going to have a perfect father. And there might be some situations where it's because of abuse or because of abandonment or because of various circumstances where it actually might not be realistic to maintain a relationship and to, it might not be healthy in some cases to do that. And in some cases, the only way you might be able to show honor is just to forgive. In some cases, that might be the only way that you're able to because of the choices that your father has made and because of the dysfunction that's been created, okay? Choosing to forgive. It's like what Jesus did on the cross when he said, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." It's having that kind of an attitude. It's God, I choose to forgive my dad. He didn't know what he was doing. He was lost. He was hurt. He was broken. He needed healing. And it's not justifying the actions. It's not saying it was okay what they did, but it's releasing the bitterness and the anger for the things that happened. The third point, and really this is what I feel like I want to emphasize the most here this morning, is this third point. We must trust God to make up for our father deficiencies. Okay? We must trust God to make up for our father deficiencies. And I mean that in two ways. I'll mention it briefly here and then go back to it, but the two ways I mean that is if you are a father, and I'm a father now, this is my second Father's Day. I have a little almost 2-year-old running around in the nursery right now. So for those of us who are fathers, it means we trust God to make up for our own mistakes. I'm not saying you just say, "Oh, God will take care of it," and we just neglect. I'm just saying we're gonna make mistakes and sometimes we're going to make bad decisions or we're going to do things that might hurt. And we need to not take on condemnation. And we need to trust that God is ultimately their father and that God will make up for even our own failures and not live with a bunch of regret or live with a bunch of guilt of, "Man, I wish I can go back and do that. I wish I would have done this differently." Okay? But trusting that God will make up for that because he's the perfect heavenly father. And then it's trusting if we've been wounded by fathers. If we've been wounded by a father, it's trusting that God will make up for the deficiency that's left in our own hearts. You see, the role of the father is so critical. the role of a father is so important and so critical that when there is a deficiency, when there is a dysfunction, when there's abandonment, when there's rejection, when there's abuse, it can leave such a wound in a person's heart. And sometimes they don't even realize that's why it's there. Last Father's Day, I was given a book that was a really good book. It was given to me as a Father's Day gift last year, and it's called Husbands and Fathers by Derek Prince. And he said something in that book that just struck me, and it's stuck with me since. He said this. He said, the undiagnosed cause for much of the crime and the violence in our society today is as simple and as radical as this: the failure of fathers to love their children. He said that's at the root of so much of the violence and the crime and the problems that are happening in society. So much of it goes back to a dysfunctional father, the failure of fathers to love their children. Because it's the father, it's the love of a father that brings security to a child. That's part of what the love of a father brings, is security. And so if that's lacking, if that's missing, it breeds an insecurity and a sense of just fear, insecurity. It's the love of a father that brings a sense of approval, that you're approved, that you're accepted, that you're received. And so when that's missing, we can spend our whole lives looking for approval, trying to fill that hole, trying to find it, when really all that we're looking for is the love of a father. The love of a father is what instills in a child a sense of identity. A sense of identity. And so when that is missing, there's this confusion of identity, of who am I? What am I doing here? There's this, again, this identity crisis that can happen. The Lord just keeps seeming to bring me back to the temptation of Jesus. I keep going back to study that. And every time I study it, I've been seeing something new. And it just struck me that when Jesus went into the wilderness, he was about to face, up until that point in his life, probably the biggest trial of his life. He was about to be fasting for 40 days, and he's going to be face to face with the devil under temptation. And it just struck me, right before Jesus was about to go into that scenario, into that situation, right before that, he was baptized, and it said a voice came from heaven that said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And it struck me that when Jesus went in to face this temptation and this trial, not only did he go armed with Scripture, which he quoted every time, but he also was armed with the voice of his Father. He was armed with the voice of his Father. The first thing that the enemy questioned was his identity as a son. He said, "If you are the Son of God, turn this stone into bread. Prove yourself." He was armed with the voice of his Father, had just spoken and said, "You are my Son. I love you." "I approve of you." I think there are so many, so many in our society today that the one thing they're missing is the voice of a father. It's the one thing they're missing because there's so much potential inside, and it's the voice of a father that can unlock that potential and can help propel people into what God has made them to do and made them to be. The voice of a father is what's missing in so many people's lives. And I'll never forget how God showed this to me in just such a simple little illustration. A few years ago, I was a young adult pastor, a youth and young adult pastor at a church. And we had a young adult group that met on Friday nights. And there was a young lady in that group who has become a spiritual daughter to me. And she has such a passion for God, for his presence. And she has such a desire to be used by God. But her natural tendency was to be very, very shy and reserved. And so she was hesitant to pray or hesitant to kind of do anything or to even think that God could use her in any way. And I just remember watching her just blossom throughout the weeks and months of this time. I mean, after a while, I mean, she would go up and give words of knowledge, and she was just praying for people and seeing them heal. I mean, it was just like, it was a transformation. But the story that kind of illustrated this point to me about the importance of a father's voice is one Friday night after our service was done. Sometimes we'd hang out there for hours. It's Friday night. Everyone can sleep in the next day. We're young adults. We're 18 and 20 and, 30 range. So nobody needs to go home early. So sometimes we'd hang out for hours after the service. Sometimes we'd be praying together. Sometimes we'd be just hanging out. And then sometimes we'd just jump on the instruments and just have a little jam session. And I remember one day, this young lady, her name's Miriam, she showed an interest in wanting to learn the drums. And that's an instrument that I play somewhat. And so she asked me, how do you do that? What do you do? And so she sat at the drum set, and I showed her just the very a basic beat that was basically, if you can do these three things together. See, most people can do two, but if you can do three things together, then you can play the drums. So I showed her this simple beat and the three things, and I kind of showed her how to do it, and she kept trying to do it, but whenever she tried to add the third element, she kept just kind of falling apart. And so she kept trying, and she kept trying, and she kept trying, and she just kind of got to a point where she was ready to give up, and she just kind of said, I can't do this. And literally, almost just immediately out of my mouth, I just said, Miriam, you can do it. It's just kind of just, I didn't even think about it. It just kind of just came out of my mouth. I said, Miriam, you can do this. I'm telling you, literally, within a minute, she was playing it perfectly. She was playing the three things in the beat perfectly. And I just thought to myself, I was like, wow. That's just the power of a voice of a father speaking into somebody. See, because she was ready to give up, and she would have never tried again, and that would have been it. And for all she knew, she could have never played the drums. And how many people are in that scenario in various circumstances in their life where they haven't had the voice of somebody to tell them that they could do it? Or they haven't had the voice of somebody to tell them with wisdom and with guidance and with counsel. The potential is there. The ability is there. But the voice of a father can release that. John chapter 14. One of the primary things that Jesus came to do is to reveal to us the Father. It's one of the primary things that Jesus came to do is show us what God is like. Show us who the Father is. John chapter 14. This is an often quoted scripture I never saw it this way until recently. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Pause on that for a second, then we'll go to verse 9. I used to always read that scripture and use that scripture to show that Jesus was the only way to heaven, right? Which is a true statement. And there's other verses that show that. But that's not what the scripture actually says. Look what it says. It didn't say no one gets to heaven except through me. It said no one comes to the Father except through me. You see, the goal of Jesus was to bring people to be reconciled to their heavenly Father. And the way to do that was through him, through his finished work on the cross. But notice it leads us to the Father. Okay? No one comes to the Father except through me. And then later in verse 9, it says, he who has seen me has seen the Father. God is saying through Jesus, it's like I want, it's as if God is saying, I want my people to really know what I'm like. They have a view of me that is inaccurate. They have a view of me that's not true. And the only way I can show them is if I come down myself, if I send my son, the word who becomes flesh, and let him walk among them and show and say, this is what the Father is actually like. And when you see it in his life and in his ministry, you see what the Father is like. And the New Testament, it's amazing when you see there's right around 250 references in the New Testament to God as Father. Either it's speaking directly of him as Father or about him as Father. Right around 250 times. Okay? In the Old Testament, there might be a handful. And it's not even, it's the same God, but that revelation hadn't come. Okay? And the references in the Old Testament aren't as personal and direct as you relating to God as your Father. It's more of the sense of he's the creator and, you know, he made everything and he's protector and provider. But this personal sense of God being your Father, Jesus came to reveal. Christian, I want to have you come up. We're going to close in a few minutes. So I just want to say this, the love of the Father, of the perfect Father, can heal our hearts where there's been wounds caused by a relationship with the Father. Okay? We must trust God that he can fill those voids. Again, in two ways. Our own shortcomings as fathers, ways that we've maybe have messed up along the way, that we're not going to carry any guilt or shame, or we're not going to beat ourselves up over it. Okay? We're going to trust that God will make up for it in our children's lives. And we're going to trust he'll make up for it in our own lives. God is the ultimate Father. The scripture says he's a father to the fatherless. How many people know that there's a need in this generation for a revelation of God as the Father? I mean, we're in a fatherless generation, family-wise, but also even in the church, with the need for spiritual fathers We need a revelation of God as Father. As I was preparing for this message, I was praying that, Lord, show me your heart as Father. I want to know you more as the Father. I want to grow in that concept, in that revelation of God being the Father. And I believe that just like I spoke of those things earlier, how it's from a father, you know, it's the love of a father that brings security and identity and approval and all that stuff. I believe very much so that from our Heavenly Father, we receive those things. When we have a greater revelation of God as Father, there's a security that comes with that. There's a sense of security that comes with that. There's a sense of identity that comes with that. I'm a son of God. I'm a daughter of God. There's a sense of identity that comes with that. Where we're not trying to strive for God's approval because we've already been approved. Because we're in Christ, who's perfect. Let's stand to our feet. What I want us to do in kind of wrapping this time up is I want us to spend some time just receiving the love of our Heavenly Father. And I'm going to believe God for the Holy Spirit to minister the Father's love to our hearts this morning. So what I want to do is I want just Christian just to lead in a worship song, and in these next few minutes, just take time to receive the Father's love. And if you would like prayer for anything, we're gonna make the altars open. And first and foremost, if you want prayer for this particular subject, okay, of just there's been a wound that needs to be healed. A father issue. Okay? We're going to open that, and then we'll also open it up for any other prayer needs, whether it's healing or other issues that we need prayer for. So, Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. Lord, you taught us to approach you as Father. You said that when we prayed, we could say, Our Father in heaven. Hallowed be your name. So God, we approach you this morning as our Father in heaven, our perfect Father. And Lord, right now, Lord, as we spend these next few minutes, Father, in waiting on you and worshiping and prayer and just soaking in your presence, God, I just ask for your Holy Spirit to minister the love of the Father to hearts this morning. Where there needs to be mending, where there needs to be healing. Jesus, you came to bind up, to mend broken hearts, the brokenhearted. And so, God, anywhere where there is brokenness in hearts this morning, that's related to a father issue, a father wound, Lord, we just declare healing begins to happen today. God, that we don't have to stay in that place. God, we just, God, we release our parents. We forgive them. God, we say we forgive them for their shortcomings, for their sins, for ways that they've hurt us. We honor our fathers and our mothers the best we can. And so, Father, right now, during this time, we just ask you, Holy Spirit, to minister and to just meet with each person exactly as they need right now. In Jesus' name. The altars are open as Christian begins to sing and as we spend this time. We'll just wrap up in a few minutes. Thank you.
desire to be like you, like any son or daughter. I want to be like my father. I desire to be like you.
Pray right now that there would be a God, just a manifestation of your perfect love that drives out fear right now. God, anywhere that there's fear in hearts, Lord, I ask right now in Jesus' name that your perfect love would cast out all fear right now, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I just pray over those three things, that security, that approval and acceptance, and the identity, Lord. I ask that each one of us would come into a greater place of security in you, of finding our identity in you, Lord, of finding our approval and our acceptance in you. You know, it's interesting that talked about the voice of the Father in Jesus' life. But it's amazing when you think about the reason that we get to experience the acceptance of God the Father is because Jesus actually experienced his rejection on the cross. Okay? Because on the cross, as he was bearing the sin of the world, it was weighing on him. It actually says he cried out and said, "Father, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And even the Father had to look away from Jesus. And because Jesus experienced that rejection and that turning away, that is why we can experience the Father's acceptance and the Father's love. And so, Lord, I just, God, as we bring this time to a close, we just say thank you, God, for your perfect love for us. We all need it, God. We all need a greater revelation of your love for us and of you as our perfect Father. And so, God, I just ask that, Lord, as we go today, God, throughout this day, throughout this week, God, that your Spirit would just continue to minister to our hearts in that way. God, continue to reveal any wounds that you're wanting to heal. And Lord, just thank you for the power of the cross. Thank you for the power of the blood of Jesus and the body that was broken for us, that we could be redeemed and restored, that we could come to the Father. We could come be reconciled to our Father. And so, Lord, I just pray your blessing over each one here. God, I pray just a blessing over all the fathers here. God, just pray your grace and your blessing over them. Lord, I just pray for any fathers that have experienced regret or just a feeling of, you know, I wish I could have done it differently. God, I just pray right now that will be broken off in Jesus' name. God, that any just regret or looking back or feeling shame or guilt, God, that we would not carry that in the name of Jesus, that it would be broken off, that we could walk in your grace, Lord. So I just pray a special blessing over each father here. And God, I ask that today we would honor our fathers, not just today, but always. And most of all, Lord, we'd honor our Heavenly Father. So we thank you, Lord. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God is good. Amen. I do want to just say that the altar is open if you have any prayer needs. So if you would like prayer for anything, you can come forward. And I know there's some prayer team people that are going to be available to be praying. So if you would like prayer for any need at all.